I like hearing you sing the Christmas carols, the Christmas songs. The title of the message is I Must Have Blown a Bulb, and I think you'll see why when we get to it. When Kathy and I bought our home in 2007 up in Martinsburg, we graduated, I guess, or converted from a real Christmas tree to having an artificial tree because the house had baseboard heat. And there was a register or a baseboard heater right underneath the window where we would put the Christmas tree. So we got an artificial. Before 2007, we always had a concolor fir. Concolors are those trees with the long needles, and they kind of smell like oranges, and they last a long, long time. We tagged them in October, not too far away from here, and then we would, in December, cut it down and it lasted the month, and it was really nice. So since we couldn't have our concolor tree in Martinsburg, I decided to plant one in our side yard. It stands today. I saw it 2 weeks ago, and it's huge. It's ginormous. But the whole time it was growing, I always trimmed it and shaped it so that it stayed Christmassy. And I would put, as it grew taller, I put lights on it. And as it grew even more tall and fatter, I put more lights on it. And it really was quite something to see. The last year that we were in Martinsburg, it was about 8 feet tall. It's a lot taller than that now. It was about 8 feet tall. And I have always admired people who seem to have success. They light up their trees in their yard with thousands of lights, it seems, and it just looks so nice. And so I thought, I'm going to do that, and I went out to Walmart and I bought lights, 700 of them. And I tested them. I was smart enough to do that to make sure that they worked. And then I put an aluminum ladder up against the tree, and I went up to the top, started circling around. An hour and a half later, I was finished. I got an extension cord, and I plugged it in. And before you could sing "Oh Tannenbaum," we had a nice Christmas display. Thing is, it was daylight. You know, it was in the day when I did it. So I couldn't wait till it was dark. I couldn't wait till it was dusk. I plug it in, go out and snap a picture and put it right on Facebook. I was so proud of this Christmas tree. So I went out at dusk and I plugged in the extension cord and it lit beautifully. And I went to get my camera and I went to take a picture. And I looked at the tree and poof, it was black. It was totally dark. I don't mean one strand or two. I mean every bulb on every branch, every stinking branch was dark. Don't you hate that when your bulbs go out on your Christmas trees? I hate that. And you have to get one of those little tools like they sell at Lowe's or Hobby Lobby, either that, or you take the dark strand and you put it in your hand and you start going around individually and replacing lights until you find the culprit. Oh, I didn't have one of those tools, so that's what I had to do. And I didn't get through three bulbs and I realized the brutal truth. And the brutal truth was somehow or other I had blown the whole tree. Every bulb was black. I was not excited, let me say the least. I was rather humbugged that year. And my last year with my beautiful concolor tree, because I was coming here, and I pitched them all in the trash, every last 700 light, and that was the end of that. Are you looking forward to Christmas? A lot of people shaking their heads. Some people are, some people aren't. Some people say, I wish it were all over with. I don't know. There might be any number of reasons why December isn't your cup of Christmas tea. You might be old enough to know better, old enough not to believe so much anymore. You've seen too much of the world. You know too much. Or maybe you know that good news is in short supply, and so you don't see what the deal is. The old song says, ho, 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 who wouldn't go? Maybe you, and maybe too, me. But let's look at Zechariah and Elizabeth for just a minute, and I'll try to give it some clarity this morning for us. Zechariah and Elizabeth were the parents of John the Baptist, but that's getting ahead of the story. They were from Abijah, and Abijah meant they were from good stock. They were good people. In fact, what does the scripture say? They observed all the commandments of the Lord blamelessly. It means that they observed them most excellently. They were above reproach. And the only thing going on with Zechariah and Elizabeth was they weren't able to have children. And the Bible doesn't say why, and we can't possibly know why. But we do know this. We do know this. Sometimes when bad things happen to us, or when things that aren't our wish don't happen to us, we think that, it's because God disapproves. And I'd like to challenge that and say, that's not true. If something happens to you, it's not because God disapproves. Nobody was worth more and worthy more of having a family than this couple. Nobody was. But for some reason, they just didn't have it. With every birth announcement in their friends, they said, that'll be us. One day it'll be our turn. And they'd pray and say, God, hear our prayers. We believe. Listen. And the answer was always no. Now, at that time, when this was going on, Israel had 24 divisions of priests. 24 divisions. And each division served in Jerusalem at the temple of priests once every 6 months for a week. So if you were a priest and you were in a division of Abijah or Nagel, or 4th Street, we would serve 2 weeks a year. And this was in one of the rotations of Abijah, and Zechariah was in Jerusalem at the temple. A lot of priestly responsibilities, but the one that was coveted was the lifting up of the incense, the afternoon prayers. The people would gather around the temple and in the temple, and the priest would go into the hidden place where nobody else goes, nobody's allowed to go, next to the Holy of Holies. And there would be an altar there, and that altar was burning coals, and you had to freshen those coals because it was supposed to be kept burning all the time. And then you take a special bowl, I think it was silver, it might have been gold, and you sprinkled incense on it. And when the smoke rose to the roof and the people outside could see it, and they had been praying for Jerusalem and Israel at that time, it was a real special event. It was a real significant event. And when it was over, the priest would come out and he'd pronounce a benediction. And the benediction went like this: may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. It's in the book of Numbers, chapter 6. Now, offering that incense and carrying the prayers of the people to the altar of God and coming out and saying that benediction, being a priest that did that, was kind of like being a brethren pastor who gets asked to preach at annual conference. It's a big deal. It was the ultimate religious experience. And it didn't come every year. In fact, it was a once-in-a-lifetime experience because you didn't get to serve that incense again until every priest in every division, and there were a lot of them, had the opportunity to serve. So this was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for Zechariah. And he only got to do it because his name was drawn from a hat. Okay, let's listen to it again. When Zechariah's division was on duty, he was chosen by lot to go into the temple and burn the incense. That means he was chosen at random. Now, I would say, well, gee, he was lucky. That was the luck of the draw. No. Numbers 16, verse 33 says, the lot falls into the lap, but the Lord is in on every decision. The lot falls into the lamp, but the Lord is responsible for every decision. There's no such thing as luck to a Christian, brothers and sisters. A lot of us say, boy, we were lucky. We got off lucky. We could have been in a car accident. We were lucky. There's no such thing as luck to a Christian. I believe that. It's providential. God is working things out all the time. It's not luck that Gary's sitting back there today. It's not luck that Amber's here today after being in the hospital a year ago. It's not luck. And it's not luck that Zechariah was in the temple when he was. It's not luck that you're in where you are in God's presence. It's not a mistake. Zechariah had a divine appointment. And he had hardly begun scattering the incense over the coals when he was, the Bible says, startled and gripped by fear because he saw an angel. The word terasso means, like the coals, he was shaken. Like the coals under the incense. I don't blame him. If you go home tonight and say your prayers and an angel appears before you in your bedroom, you're going to be shaken. A lot of things are going to go through your mind, not the least of which is, am I dead? Am I going to die? And what's interesting is the choir just sang about the ensemble. Psalm 27 says, you have no need to fear because the Lord is your light. You have no need to fear. He is your salvation. He is himself the light in your rescue. And it goes on to say that in his, what's it say? He will keep you safe where he dwells. Zechariah was where he dwells. Zechariah, he had memorized Psalm 27 from the time he was a kid, but he was scared to death. He was going to die. He didn't know why this angel was there. And the angel said, don't be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. I think it's ironic or providential. Zechariah's name means the Lord hears. Your prayer has been heard. The Lord always hears our prayers. You say, well, yeah, Joel, well, then why is this story so full of sadness? Why is my life so full of sadness and disappointment? And I'll give you an answer to that. I don't know. I don't know why Elizabeth was on in years before she was able to conceive and why she was at least in her 60s and she was knitting booties and stocking up on Pampers well past menopause. I have no idea. I have no idea why Mary and Joseph went into Bethlehem. There was absolutely no room for the King of Kings but a cattle stall. I have no idea why three foreigners saw a star rising in the east, knew what it meant, went a long distance to see him, and people sitting right there in the country had no clue. They were sound asleep. I don't know why dishonorable people sometimes prosper and flourish. I don't know why children die. I will never get that. I will never get that or get used to it. And I don't know why there's no such thing as peace on earth when so many of us pray for it, particularly at Christmas time. But I do know this. I do know that when we are down on our last dime, our last move, our last chance, our last option, when we've grown roots and we have waited so long that we've grown roots, that's when God is ready and that's when God does his best work. Don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. You know what prayer that was? It wasn't Zechariah's prayer for the people. It wasn't the people's prayer for Jerusalem. It was Zechariah's personal cry for God to give them a family. And specifically to give him a little boy to carry on his namesake, which was extremely important. Zechariah had spent so many years wishing and hoping. This is what's interesting. He said, how do I know? He'd forgotten what he asked for. He spent so many years bracing himself for disappointment that he wasn't able to embrace the good news when it hit him in the face. And so he said, how do I know? How do I know what you're talking about? My wife's an old woman. I'm an old man. And right there, he rejected the gift of God. Right there. I read on Wednesday that Monday was Amazon's, Cyber Monday, was Amazon's biggest sales day in 20 plus years of business. Okay? They never said how much they made. Hundreds of millions of product went through their lines. Hundreds of millions of products, that's a direct quote. Now, big sellers, the Echo Dot, Fire TV Stick 4K, most asked for thing. Toys were a big seller this year on Amazon. And if you bought a toy and you got Darth Vader's castle, you got a coveted prize. If you got Frozen 2 Monopoly, you got a coveted prize. I'm serious. Let's not forget the iRobot Roomba. The Roomba was a big seller. According to the figures, there were $9.2 billion in sales the world over, up 17% from last year. That's a lot of stocking stuffers, folks. But here's what I know. According to Forbes magazine, tracks this kind of stuff, 34% of Americans will return their gifts. 34%. Did you buy clothing for somebody? Don't raise your hand. Did you buy clothing for somebody? If you did, 68% of clothes will be returned. 68%. Did you buy a gadget? Did you buy electronics? Did you buy a game? 23% will be returned. Did you buy a toy? 1 in 5 will be go back to the store or stay on the shelf. 1 in 5. And according to Forbes, only 20% of those surveyed said that their holiday credit card debt was worth it. Okay? And I don't know what that says about us. I don't know if that says we're not very discerning when we buy. I don't know if it says giving is not our love language. I don't know if it says as a society we're unappreciative and selfish. I have never returned a gift, ever, unless it didn't fit. I have never returned a gift. But Zechariah returned the angel's blessing like an old necktie or a pair of socks and underwear. Okay? He rejected it. How do I know? for sure. That has got to be the original duh that was ever said. And Gabriel said, behold, I'm Gabriel. Now, listen, when behold appears in the Bible, it means I'm about to make a point. I'm about to make a point. Luke so loved that word, he used it 26 times. I'm about to make a point. I am Gabriel, he said. I stand in the presence of God himself. He has sent me. Because you didn't believe, you're not going to be able to say a word until what I have told you comes to pass. And Zechariah went out to say, the Lord bless you and keep you. And he was speechless. Some scholars suggest he was deaf as well. He lost both his hearing and his speech. I don't know. Now, what I do know is, here's a man that had been praying long for a child. And the angel says, I'm going to give you a child. Now, what he should have done, this old man, is done cartwheels. He should have done handstands. He should have gone out and done a bunch of high fives. He should have gone, yes, 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 like Kevin does in Home Alone, you know, when he shoots the BB and hits the guy in the head. Yeah, you know that movie? That's what he should have done. He should have passed out cigars. And he should have gone online at Target and registered for a crib and a stroller, but instead he went out to the expectant crowd, dumbfounded, as if he had taken an extension cord and went, and the tree went, 700 bulbs. And he went home with his tail dragging between his legs, and that's where it was going to stay until Elizabeth's abdomen began to grow. Now, I'm going to leave you with this thought in the story. There's a simple truth in this, and that is, when God's in your life, things do happen. Whatever the angel said was going to happen did, in fact, happen. Okay? Zechariah and Elizabeth weren't forsaken like they thought they were, you know. It's interesting. They named the baby John. The angel said his name will be John. John means God gives us grace. God gives us grace. And all we have to do is embrace it. And I'm going to repeat myself. When you're down to your last dime, down to your last hope, down to your last option, when you've waited as long as you can possibly wait and you can't wait any further, and you've even forgotten what you're waiting for, that is when God is going to work. And some of you say, oh, I'm not going to have an encounter with God this Christmas. I just won't. I never do. You're going to. This is your Christmas. Never count him out and never hold him at arm's length. There was a pastor right before Christmas, and he got a telephone call in his study. And it was a man that he did not know who needed a pastor to talk to. And the story was that he had killed his wife years ago in a fit of rage and insanity. I actually made a pastoral visit like that, a guy that shot his wife point blank range because he was not thinking correctly. I actually did that. I lived this story, but it's not me. And he shot his wife, and he was now out of prison, and they had a child between them. And that child was a little girl was in the custodial care of grandparents, and she had gotten big, of course. He hadn't seen her since the sentencing. And he said, he told the pastor, if I saw her on the street, I would pass her. I don't even know what she looks like. And he started to cry. And he said, I need help. And then he said something jarring. He said, tell me what to do, but leave God out of it. Leave God out of it. And the pastor paused a beat and he said, I'm afraid that's your problem. You've left God out of everything. Don't let God out of it. And don't count him out and don't count him down. Prepare. Listen, I'm going to give you takeaways. Number one, prepare yourself for a holy encounter. And prepare yourselves to have a visitation by an angel. It's funny, isn't it? That angel might look like your next door neighbor. But be prepared. Expect that your patience is going to go thin. I had two people give me a testimony that they plugged in their tree and their tree blew in their bulbs. And they didn't have much patience. Expect that your patience is going to go thin and your faith is going to be tested. But expect that you're going to get a resolution to prayer that you secretly are praying that I don't even know about, but God does. And expect to be at a loss for words. I think that would be the best thing that would happen to you and me, is if we were at a loss for words. But most of all, expect grace, which is undeserved favor. And while you're at it, give some grace to somebody else. And know that you are loved. Even when you can't get excited, even when you doubt, or when you blow a bulb or two. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the message of Zechariah. And really appreciate the deep teaching that's in it. This is the man who would grow, the boy who would grow up to be the one who prepares the way for the Lord and calls people back to you and to repentance and calls fathers' hearts back to their children and children to their fathers. This is the prophet that you would raise up. This man would be blessed. This man would be anointed. This man would be your child. This man would be the predecessor to your coming. And I just really, really thank you that he's part of the Christmas story and the angel is part of the character, and pray that we'll take this and run with it and let it shape our lives in any way you deem fit. For I pray in your name, amen.